Let us now have our responsive psalm reading found on page 861 and 2, Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters, and all the depths. Fire, hail, snow, and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, and all cattle, creeping things, flying birds, kings of the earth and of all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has risen of his people. Praise for all the faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading from the Bible comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. You can find this, if you pull out the pew Bible in front of you, it'll be on page 56. If it's your Bible that you brought, hopefully you can find it near the beginning in the book of Exodus. Hear these words about an important event, which we will commemorate today in several manners. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for today is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. And it comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery, licentiousness, and not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
But let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 19. And this is a tough one. This is a lesson that we often don't take seriously, one that we should, as we work out what it is to be neighbors in the faith. So hear these words of Jesus speaking to the 12 and also to us. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was reading Matthew, I saw a lot of you holding yourselves and rocking, and I think that means you're cold. Sorry about that. Again, two or three are gathered. You maybe need to be gathered a little closely today. Well, I want us to concentrate on the many different mentions of the concept neighbor in today's lectionary reading. And I want you to think about specifically the stuff that Bill read, where he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Imagine what it would be like if we, as Christian sisters and brothers, if we were to live by the same definition of neighbor as God does. What if our lived experience of love, what if the way we lived out our love were as all-encompassing and as full as God's love? Well, when you think about this idea of a neighbor, what comes to your mind? I think in our time, in our culture, a neighbor is generally someone who lives in your building or next door, or maybe down the street. Somebody who lives in close proximity with you. And it seems that for many people, me included, we may not even know the people who live near us. What do we have in common with our neighbors? You probably have more in common with your neighbors than you might think at first. It seems that where we live near each other purely by chance. Think about the last time you moved. That is, the last time you moved and you moved into your current situation. When you think about that time, did you seek out and introduce yourself to your neighbors before you decided to live where you live? Did your neighbors enter into your decision about where you would live? Maybe so, maybe not. When you think a bit more about your neighbors, you'll come to realize that you probably share some things in common. It's likely that you are in the same socioeconomic grouping as those who live around you. Think about that. We who live in the United States are generally better off economically than the vast majority of the world's people. Even our poorest neighbors are richer than many of the rest of the world's population. The folks who live around you are, by definition, your neighbors. But do you consider the people of Ghana or Tonga or Iran or Libya or the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo, do you consider these people to be your neighbors? God does. And because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, all of these people are your sisters and your brothers. All of these people are your neighbors. Well, when you stop and think about it, if you happen to come together with your neighbors, it probably doesn't take too long before you're sharing a meal together. The act of breaking bread, of eating together, is perhaps one of the strongest and most important bonds of being neighbors together. And it has been that way since time began and people started interacting with each other. Sharing a meal is a quintessentially human activity that's encouraged, in fact, blessed by God. I want you to think about the passage we read this morning from Exodus, the story of the original Passover Seder. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it should join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. At its foundation, this is a story about neighbors sharing a meal in anticipation of what God is about to do for them. Think about what we will do a bit later in our worship service. We'll celebrate Holy Communion, otherwise known as the Lord's Table. This is the story of the Last Supper, where Jesus and his 12 disciples shared another Passover Seder. And it's at its foundation, this is yet another story about neighbors sharing a meal in anticipation of what God is about to do for them. If you think about the Bible passage from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus telling his followers that they hold a special responsibility as spiritual neighbors. Not only do they live together and work together and eat together, but Christian people also share mutual accountability as neighbors in faith. Christians hold each other accountable for living in the model of our Lord Jesus. Christian neighbors know that Jesus is in our midst. As he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." When you think about our modern culture, does it seem to you that Christian people spend an awful lot of time and an awful lot of energy worrying about who really is their neighbor? Does it seem like we argue about who is worthy enough to be in church? About who ought to be ordained as a minister of the good news? about who loves whom, about who should be allowed to join in covenant with someone they love. Christians are expending a lot of energy trying to figure all this out. But God has already figured it out. In God's eyes, all of us are neighbors because all of us are God's children. And we know that. If you look at our mission statement on the front of this bulletin and every bulletin, it says, as Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, we believe that God loves all people. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we strive to share God's love through our words and actions. In the United Methodist Church, we celebrate what's known as open table communion. It is the Lord's table. It's not ours. We don't decide who should be welcomed at His table. God already has made that decision and already makes that offer. God welcomes all people to the table of Jesus Christ. Listen again to these words that are probably familiar, the words that I will say at the beginning of our communion liturgy. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. The United Methodist Book of Worship spells it out even further. I quote, "In Holy Communion, the bread and cup are given to the people as Jesus gave them to the disciples. All who intend to lead a Christian life, together with their children, are invited to receive the bread and cup. We have no tradition of refusing any who present themselves desiring to receive. Any or all of the people may receive them while standing, kneeling, or seated." My sisters and brothers, God loves you dearly. You are a child of God. In God's eyes, all of us are neighbors because all of us are God's children, welcomed openly to God's table. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as God loves you. Amen.